We're going to go ahead and get into today's review. Now, hopefully, I can get everything. Ah, I see where you are. That's why I was like, I'm looking for my clips, because they were like, listen, you can play maybe a couple of these clips, and after that, it's going to fucking die.
Don't get nuts.
But no, so. I got it. No, chat. We're going to be going into this movie. Very curious to hear Martin's opinion, and of course I'll share my own, but also your guys' opinion on the film too. The Conjuring universe has been around for quite some time, since I believe, 2013 or 2014,
was that
right
the first
now?
One?
Yeah, I think so. And of course we are now on this latest film, chat. The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, the third film in the, I guess, the mainland franchise, if you want to see, but I think it's like the, I mean, close to, I mean, how many films we've gotten? So we have The Conjuring, Conjuring 2, Annabelle, Annabelle 2, Annabelle 3, we've had The Nun, we've had La Llorona, and I guess that makes eight. That's eight films, so nearly a goddamn 10. That's a lot of movies. It's a lot of movies.
La Llorona was part of it.
It was, yeah. A lot of people don't want it to be.
and how does The Nun tie in with The Conjuring?
The Nun is the main villain. Spoilers. So we're going to... Because I'm actually glad you're asking these questions.
Okay.
Because before we get into this review, chat, you know, for The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, terrible title, we're going to talk about, just in general, The Conjuring verse and what we think has worked about it, what's been successful, what it hasn't succeeded at, that kind of thing. But to answer your question, the Nun was the main villain, funny enough, The Conjuring 2.
Oh.
Yeah, because she was bamboozling. That's what people thought. It was that Bill Sykes, he sounds like this, get out of my house. But really, he was a proxy. She just picked him up, and also the Crooked Man, who was also in the movie for some reason, and she was just using them. But it was the Nun who was the villain of The Conjuring 2.
I have failed you in the audience.
Oh, it's okay.
Because I never saw The Conjuring 2.
Oh, no, I spoiled it for you.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
But I meant to watch it before coming here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I just got caught up in doing things, and then the next thing I looked up, I was like, I only got 30 minutes. There's no time to watch it.
All right. Okay. I mean, it's pretty... Let me save you some time. It's literally the first movie, except it's in England, and it has a blue-gray color palette, but it's the same movie.
I heard that. Somebody told me that this weekend.
Yes. Okay. And it's just like... I mean, some people like it. You know, I mean, both of those films were commercially and critically successful.
Right.
But... Can't say that for all of the films within
the franchise. Right, right. Yeah, it just seemed like the main... You know what? This happens with... say you got a big comic book event, and the issues that are the event itself, they work. But it's all these satellite issues that hijack another comic to add them in, where you're like, I could have easily have not read that.
Yeah.
Or that was dumb.
It hijacks it, and it's like, but you were focusing on this really good story, and then then it's ruined. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
All right, but I've seen The Annabelles and The Nun.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, shit. Damn. All right.
No.
Well, I will say this. Let me tell you this.
It will reveal my opinion on the third one.
I'm just no. That'd be cool because you know, for my opinion, like you, again, not really big into ghost movies or haunted house films, but I really did appreciate The Conjuring. It was doing the same familiar things, but it did a few things I really liked. Like I liked the whole relationship between the Warrens. Yeah. You know, I mean, Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga have some great chemistry, and that was on full display. And I just kind of like this professional ghost hunters, you know, professional demonologists, if that's a real term.
No. At least I feel with them in this film universe, the Warrens work, they are only undercut by the fact that the actual Warrens were just a bunch of con men and fake.
They are charlatans.
Yes.
They were charlatans. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, this is very much a fictitious adaptation of their cases and of them. Presents them in a much more positive light and
probably
as better people. It's funny, even with the Warrens, I was doing some research on them because they're like, oh yeah, we have all these cases. And they're like, yes, make these in the movies. Because there's a lot of them. I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, I can see all these working. But allegedly... people had like very diverse opinions on them. Even skeptics were like, you know what? I don't believe anything they're saying, but they're such nice people. And I think that's just why they have said such a very kind adaptations of them, like especially in the Conjuring verse. But I mean, just to kind of get back to it, where, and this is James Wan's baby.
Yeah.
Famously, also the creator of the Saw franchise, and you know, did all that. Now it's this
Aquaman's
one.
Aquaman's his, right?
Aquaman is, yeah. is his. Yeah, he directed the first Saw. He did the Insidious films, which aren't connected to Conjuring, but they're doing the same thing. So there's those movies, Haunted House films. And they did all these spinoffs. And, like, yeah, again, when the films of the Warrens, at least the ones I've seen, really, really like them. But some of the other ones, like the first, I recently rewatched the first Annabelle.
Oh, it's
Holy shit. It's one of the worst horror films, I think, out there. Certainly of the, like, of the 2010s. Because I'm like, there's nothing fucking happens in this goddamn movie.
Well, especially, man, we're so excited. Wait, a whole horror movie based on a doll?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be it. Mm-hmm. And you watch it, it's like, she's not doing jack shit.
Nothing.
Everything happening around her, and she's just there.
Yeah.
She's the Forrest Gump of of scary dolls.
Yeah, I do like that. Did you see the second Annabelle?
Yes. Is that the one at the orphanage?
That's the one at the orphanage.
Okay, yes.
Which I like that a lot more.
Yeah, oh, much more.
Yeah,
much more.
Directed by David F. Sandberg. A lot more stuff happens in that film, God. I never saw the third one.
I can't remember if I saw the third one or not.
It's
things,
the one.
Things start to blend together.
So this is when they get to the weird, like, Marvel. This takes place at the same time as this, where it happens. Because in the beginning of The Conjuring, you have where they pick up Annabelle for the first time. And those two stupid girls are like, yeah, she was talking to us and everything. He just wanted to be our roommate. It's like, why would you want that?
This
evil possessed doll.
Yeah.
But apparently it takes place between that moment and everything we see in The Conjuring.
Okay.
It's like that weekend after they get Annabelle.
Okay.
It's like, it's Annabelle's crazy weekend
where
she haunts the daughter and stuff.
I did not see that.
Yeah, I have not seen that one either. Never seen The Nun, but I hear that's even worse than Annabelle.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, it's... I don't think it's worse than Annabelle, but it's not better in a way that's significant.
Hmm.
It's a lot of, can something happen?
Damn, that sounds like Annabelle.
I know.
At least it's following Annabelle's MO.
Yeah.
And then they did La Llorona, which I think everyone typically forgets about, which is kind of just a little bit connected to like the first Annabelle movie.
Oh, hold up. I saw that one.
You did see that one?
Yeah.
How was it?
I remember it started in a way where I thought, yeah, this might be something. And then by the end, it's like, nah.
Yeah,
it didn't
amount to anything. Yeah. That's too bad. I mean, they have this new one that's out. Apparently, they're working on a couple more. The Crooked Man is their next one, who was one of the villains' proxies in The Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the fairy tale character who murders his family, of course. That's what they all do. Why else would they be adapting it? But no, we are going to be talking about The Conjuring. I'm just going to lower my volume a little bit because I think I'm coming in really hot.
You're a little loud.
Let's see if that's a little bit better. Am I sound a little bit better, chat? A little bit better right there? I think so. Let me know. I think we're good. Cool.
All right.
Cool. How's Martin's son? You go ahead and talk to your mom.
All right, I'm talking right now. I hope you're not too low.
Yeah. Are we good? Everything. You sound good, yo.
Okay.
Nice. Cool.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
So, chat, we're gonna go ahead and get into a review of The Conjuring: The Devil Made Me Do It. But you're like, listen, we gotta see the trailer first. We gotta know what the hell's going on before we can start discussing this thing. So, here we go, chat. Let's go ahead, look at the trailer, and we'll come back with our thoughts on the movie.
The court accepts the existence of God every time a witness swears to tell the truth. I think it's about time they accept the existence of the devil.
You okay there?
Jesus. I think I hurt someone.
In 1981, Arnie Johnson pled not guilty.
We think this family was cursed.
Possession.
I am not going before a grand jury and saying he was possessed by demons.
Whatever happened that day, that was not Arnie.
Allegedly. Maybe. We're going to tell you yes, and you're going to be happy with
it. I mean, you can't prove that he wasn't.
I guess that's true. Damn it, they bamboozled us a gun, son of a bitch.
Color me your color, darling. Come off your color chart. I know where you're coming from. I know who you are.
that's just shitty. That's the shitty thing to do. Right? Just, hello? Oh, what the fuck? I'd rather you kill me. I'd rather you kill me than blow and spit in my face. It's like, God damn
ash
it.
In your face.
Yeah, I don't. And your what eyes. Is this? That's assault, by the way. No, but there's the trailer for The Conjuring 3. And, of course, this particular story is based on a true story.
Allegedly. I mean, they show footage to back it up.
They show footage. They show pictures. They have recordings and things. And yeah, I mean, it's based around the. It's two things actually. Two cases they worked on at the pretty much the same time of each other. Happened in the same year. One was the Glatzel exorcism case of 1981, where the Warrens came and they assisted a family. By the way, Jesus Christ. When they did the adaptation, I'm sure they both appreciate, you know, Patrick Wilson playing Ed and Vera Farmiga playing Lorraine, respectively. That's a hell of a fucking glow up right
well,
there.
Okay, okay.
Jesus.
It is. But that shows them older. They seem to be, like, they show some younger pictures of them.
Yeah, I've seen some
it's
other pictures.
It's still pretty far. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, maybe I could see Vera Farmiga eventually looking like, you know, Lorraine Warren, like, you know, in the 70s. But Adam, like, no.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Although, I do give them this. We'll talk about it in a bit. Like, they do attempt to age them both, or at least the Patrick Wilson in this
they
movie.
Do. They do.
And I like that
they
moment
do.
In the film.
You know, it's one of the things in the movie, because I was watching it with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I say kids, they're adults now. But I was pointing out to them, I was like, okay, a lot of what you see here, like the clothes and everything, are very accurate for the time period, but not the bodies. Like you look at Patrick Wilson and the son of the Warrens and all the dudes, they're all so buff.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, like, yeah, in the 70s, nobody was looking like that.
No.
That was actually not even considered attractive. You were something of a freak if you were that buff. just some regular dude.
Was it like the typical body was, I don't know, like a little hefty or like rail thin or things like that? Or just wasn't that. It was just,
it wasn't
just,
that.
Just
I mean,
average
I mean,
looking.
People were healthy.
Yeah.
You know, they could be thin, healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And what was considered fat was not even that fat, at least not compared to now.
Right.
But just getting muscular like that, that would only be an athlete.
Right, right.
Not just some, like I said, just a regular Joe where the shirts are pinching the arms.
Mm, see, this is the movies, Martin, though.
No one's going to watch a franchise
built around these two. No offense, not body shaming the Warrens. Of course not. But it's just like, come on, it's what they do. It's what they do. But no, not only is this based around the Glatzel exorcism case, also the 1981 Arnie Johnson case, where apparently he was possessed by the same spirit that, or demon or ghost or what have you, that possessed the smallest member the Glatzel family, and this caused him to commit murder. And it was the first case in U.S. history where it was a not guilty plea based around demonic possession. And the Warrens were also involved with that.
I mean, you got to give it to them.
The balls. That. Yeah.
That it worked.
Well, they're always putting themselves in the news, that kind of thing. It's like, don't worry, we're going to make this work for you guys. Mm-hmm. I swear to God. Now, the real case, what happened was, you know, I mean, it's not spoilers. I mean, this is what legitimately happens, is that Arnie Johnson, that whole plea deal, or not plea deal, but that not guilty plea.
Got overturned.
That, it got, well, it didn't work.
Oh.
Didn't work, and he went to prison.
Oh.
Not for that long, though. Only for 5 years. Served his time, and he got out.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a happy ending for the most part, but This film doesn't have that. So you think I'm spoiling shit? It's like, no, that wasn't real. That's what the press told you. See, the Warrens, they know what the fuck happened. This is their story. But I will say, you know, much like the and we'll get into like the meat of it. I want to structure this like this, where, hey, let's talk about the positives or the things that I thought, you know, really stuck out to me, and we'll go into the more of the things that didn't work and the stuff. And then, well, you know, we'll go back and forth, kind of do that.
Sure.
But one of the things I've always liked about these films, especially the first two Conjuring movies and the Conjuringverse films that the Warrens have appeared in, is just the chemistry, I think, between Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they really do feel like such a loving couple in this movie. And it's even the smallest things.
Yeah.
It's just like this scene when it's just like them holding each other. It feels very intimate. And that never feels, unlike some of the things that they've investigated, inauthentic. It always feels very, very real.
Yeah, they look out for each other. Yeah, authentic. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be real easy for a lot of us to feel cheesy.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And Well, yeah, I mean, some things. I was just about to say something. I was like, no, that would be a spoiler.
Oh, okay.
But just in a certain way, they really do care and look out for each other.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm right there with you. And it also doesn't only. It's not only them, but I will say, I think I'm going to play these clips just slightly louder.
Sure. You can do what you got to do.
There you go. They're. I don't think like that they're the only couple that just works in the movie. I think across the board, I think most of the performances in this are mm-hmm. solid. Mm-hmm. Like no one's giving a particularly bad performance.
No,
maybe ridiculous. We'll cover a few people in a bit. But like even the couple, you know, where we have the Arnie Johnson and his girlfriend, who are both played by. Rory O'Connor, he plays Arnie, and Sarah Catherine Hook plays his girlfriend, and also is the youngest daughter of the Glatzels. Like, I think their chemistry is on full display, and again, that authenticity comes across for me.
Well, you're not possessed, but that doesn't mean that you weren't.
I invited this thing into me, and that's the reason that he's dead. You know, whatever happens to me, I've got it covered.
Look, I was there. Whatever is going on, whatever happened that day, that was not Arnie.
And we're gonna help you. Every way that we can.
The demon's gone. What can you do now?
Who's your lawyer?
He was found.
And so, like, when they have those scenes between the two young kids, mm-hmm. I think all of them come across really well. Like, they're, you know, they're doing well with the
they
material.
They do. I kept wondering, was something going to falter? But the kid playing Arnie, I really did feel for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays a character that you have sympathy for, who's not being whiny.
No.
He knew he put himself in a position, but mm-hmm. he's willing to face whatever. And he's being tortured the entire time. And, you know, as you can see, the actor's able to just cry on cue. And
oh, yeah, that single tear.
Yeah. And sell it. And, yeah, and but you know, so often it's easy to watch his girlfriend and you're thinking, oh, sweetheart, you got to get out of there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
you know she's sticking by him.
She stands by her man.
She does. And even in that scene, it's almost like the Warrens look at them and go, "This is us."
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, that was the next point I was going to make. It's like they are seeing themselves because this movie, it's not only you know about the Warrens' next case and mm-hmm. kind of the next phase of their lives as we see Ed Warren, his health is deteriorating.
Yeah,
but we also explore like when they first met each other. Which right. I thought was, you know, just really nice and, you know, maybe a little hokey to a degree. But I was
it's hokey.
It was fine.
But for a movie that's so full of dark shit.
It's okay. I'm good with it.
I'll allow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there with you. And it's kind of to that, like, people are saying these clips are really low. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not sure
why. That really was low.
Clips are low. I'm have the audio all jacked up. I'm going to raise this a little bit more.
Let's see what we can do here.
Yeah, I'm getting messages that the clips are too
low. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me, hopefully this one will come across a little louder. But it's kind of to that. You know, balancing the hokiness with the darker material, mm-hmm. like that's always a tightrope you got to walk. But I will say, I think this movie does a pretty good job. Like, there is a lot of humor in here that I responded to. Some of it on purpose.
some of it not so much.
And some of it unintentionally funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But like even the scene when they're like, because everyone is always second guessing the Warrens throughout these mm-hmm. movies, and they're like, all right, well, you know, if you don't believe us, come to our house. And I
I had to pause the movie because we laughed so hard.
Because that was good.
Yeah.
But that's the humor I'm talking about. I think that's what kind of raises these movies above a lot of typical ghost films mm-hmm. that we see. And it's on full display in this scene right here.
How are you going to convince a jury if you can't even convince me?
I'll tell you what. You come over to our house for dinner. We'll show you the evidence we've collected over the years. Introduce you to Annabelle. If you're not convinced, we'll butt out. Deal?
All right. Show me what you got.
Mr. J.
Shit.
Oh, she's seen something.
Like, I love that moment. Yeah, it just sells the humor so well. Even Arnie's like, what the hell's wrong with you? He's looking at her the whole time.
Oh, kid, you don't even know.
So many franchises I've witnessed. Oh, no. No, it's like the scene like that, like, really, really works. I mean, that actress is only in it for, like, about, I don't know, 2 minutes.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's great.
But it's sold there because you think you're going to cut to, like, her going and them doing, like, a whole 20 minutes of her seeing shit. And it's like, no, that expression was enough.
And we've been in that goddamn occult room of theirs for so many films at this point. It's like, you just sell the people on their reactions. Uh-huh. Absolutely agree with you. Mm-hmm. And it's not only that. I mean, even though, like, this, I think it feels to, like, to me, they're like, okay, I know a lot of people talking shit about the Warrens, calling them con artists and charlatans. We're going to throw in a ton of scenes where they know exactly what they're doing. And they're real. There's another scene right here that I thought was really, really funny. But again, it showcases the humorous when they're working with the police in regards to the case involving Arnie Johnson, how it's connected maybe to several other cases.
Take you out there, but first I want to see what she can do.
Absolutely not. My wife's gift is not a sideshow attraction.
If she is what you say she is, then this shouldn't be a problem, Mr. Warren, right?
No way. Forget it.
We didn't.
Shit. And it's even like the subtle thing you see in the background, like the cops like making a bet. It's like, yeah I got it. I love that.
What's funny in that scene to me is that Patrick Wilson, like him, like, no way, my wife's not doing, she's not some sideshow attraction. Mm-hmm, I'm like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
They've been through this enough.
They've worked this out. Yeah. It's part of the performance.
Part of the routine.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. I'm actually glad you brought up Patrick Wilson's character, because Patrick Wilson's like that actor. Every time I look at him, like, you can either be like really healthy and, you know, and like muscular and things, or he's just like a schlub. I was like, I can never tell. Like, it's kind of like the lighting. I'm not sure what it is, but this is the first time where we see him play Ed Warren, whose health started to deteriorate in the 80s. And they, you know, the reason why was because he was attacked by a demon, but probably because he, you know, we all know why but they had to prove, like, okay, how can we make Patrick Wilson sick looking, because he looks so healthy and everything. It's like, there we go, demon attack. But I do like how they show his disease, his heart problem, affecting him throughout the entire film. And of course, that's some unintentionally funny moments too.
It also led to a lot of moments where we were watching where you're like, yeah, a person who just had a heart attack is not going to be moving like that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can... I know.
Especially not in the 70s.
I mean, you have him, like, one time, like, waddling through a forest, like... And then, like, with a fucking axe going, like, Jack Nicholson all over the place.
Like, no,
galloping.
No.
That's not how this works.
No.
But, yeah, you could showcase a little bit of Ed Warren's, you know, his heart problem, but how it adds to kind of, like, the drama of the film right here.
This woman targeted David and Jessica. Maybe there's a connection there. Let me take a look at the
You got up too fast, buddy. What are you doing?
Stood up too fast.
Damn. Jesus Christ, Tim Burr. But it's like, even like the smallest thing at this point with him, before, I mean, him and his wife were doing like fighting ghosts and going through the, you know, the crawl spaces and what have you. Now, if he stands up too fast, like, it's too much on him.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool, because it just shows that they're not going to be able to do this forever, and that their work is taking their toll on them. And again, it just makes you feel for these characters so much more.
Sure.
And I really love that. Now, you know, again, I think his illness is sometimes used, you know, for comedic effect.
It's a device,
especially, you know, and I bet they're going to use it as a crutch for the rest of them. I mean, you've seen this scene in the trailer, guys, but like how it's used here, it's pretty goddamn funny. I don't know how you can't laugh. And you have her just fucking laughing at him the whole time. There are so many scenes like this. This is the tip of the iceberg with him just falling over, getting attacked by something. Poor Ed. But that's some of the more, I think, maybe intentional funny moments in the film. You know, covered some of the stuff I think we really like. We like the performances of Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga. They do a good job. Most of the humor in the movie, at least the intentional stuff, works really well. But then we get to the stuff I'm like, okay, I'm not really sure what you're going for.
Well, actually, one more thing that I can tell you I liked about this was how the structure was different from the, at least I didn't see the second Conjuring, but from the first Conjuring. Because it'd be real easy, like, hey, we remade the first movie and it worked. Why not just do it again?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, no, they're going for something different. This is actually more like a procedural on how they're working through a case. Just having a case that they're trying to prove, I felt like, well, this grounds it to something and it has me interested in a, okay, what are you going to do next way?
You're absolutely right, because that was my biggest criticism. I recently watched a lot of the Conjuring films back to back, like this week. And, you know, the Conjuring one, I enjoyed it. You know, still engaged, you know, indulging the tropes that we obviously have a lot of ghost films. But the sequel was just doing the same things.
Yeah.
All it changed was really the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I need more. And one of the things, that's one of my points later on, is how they do change the structure of the movie.
Yeah.
Which I love, because it made it a little bit more fresh, even though they're doing the same knocking and shit.
Yeah, everything. I mean, they aren't reinventing a wheel, but it is, hey, you didn't try to sell me the same movie you already sold me before.
Exactly. Now, we'll definitely sell you a bunch of creepy characters who I'm like, there's no way you would be alive or live in this kind of world, but that's fine. And this is where we get to the stuff I'm like, I don't know if they intended this to come across as comedic as it is or just weird, especially who they cast as certain characters in the film. We come to like a moment I'm like, I don't know if this is really working for me. And it's this one right here.
Father Kastner.
Didn't hear a car driving. Would either of you care for an omelet?
Now, we had breakfast before we left home. I'm Ed Warren. This is my wife, Lorraine.
I have chicken shit on my hands.
Okay. I have feces all over my hands. All right, because this is going to go our way. That's fair. John Noble, man, he's a great actor.
Uh-huh.
He is. But he is only casting things nowadays to play either an evil character or someone who's weird.
Now,
this movie, you don't know which one it is.
It's his face and the accent.
It is that. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Like, is it a British accent? I can't even tell anymore, like, what it is.
It doesn't sound British at all.
I don't know what he is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone in the chat could possibly let us know.
German,
but
Austrian, Hungarian.
Could be. Oh, yeah. You know, maybe famously played Denethor in Lord of the Rings. That's what everyone's screaming in the chat. Denethor!
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, Oopie. And again, he was a weird, crazy monarch or steward in that case. But yeah, his role in the film, you know, he serves to be weird and to deliver copious amounts of exposition.
Yes.
That's pretty much what all he does. And, you know, it's just like, this movie is kind of going against what it typically did with the sequel so much. It's like to have his inclusion. You know, it's not the fault of Zone, some material is written, but it's just like, this isn't really working for me at this point. And it's coming off unintentionally funny because of just how fucking weird he is. And his menagerie of the occult, and everyone going like, yeah, this ain't going to work out later.
It was just funny to me that he was recommended to them.
Yeah.
Oh, go see this guy. No, I vouch for him. He can help you. Mm-hmm. And you get there, you're like, this guy, really?
No, I don't think
especially
so.
Later in the film. You're like,
oh, I know.
I've been bamboozled.
I know. It's just like, and they set it up too, especially because it's like, because he's so weird. You see a lot of the stuff coming right off the bat, chap. But yeah, John Noble's, he's John Nobling. What he does, acting crazy and evil and weird.
Plus, when they introduce him as he's an ex-priest, you're like, yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, what did he do? That immediately sets up like, you did something
you
bad,
did
didn't
something,
you?
Yeah. No, I resigned.
Sure.
Under pressure,
okay.
I'm sure.
Okay. Now, what I did like about this, the other thing I liked about this movie, and it goes back and forth. Like, sometimes I think it's working, other times I think it's like unintentionally funny.
Sure.
And it's the inclusion of an entity that is not a ghost. And I thought that was unique.
Yeah.
I thought you're changing up, because all these movies, every single Conjuring film has dealt with a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first one where even they tell you, it's like, someone's cursing these people.
Yeah.
And it builds on things that we saw even in the other movies, even the ones we hate. I'm like, that's fucking cool how they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how they use it occasionally, I don't think is always works very well. But this new character who we see throughout it, and it it made me realize what the enemy they picked, the individual that we needed for our new, can't be a ghost, can't be a demon, it needs to be something else. And would showcase really here for the first time. As the worst looking glory hole ever.
You scream and you scream at the screen. Boy, what are you doing?
I know. Guys, speak to your manager! They literally have a Karen.
Yes.
That
yes.
is the new yep, enemy yep, of the Conjuring yep, movie. Yep. I'm not making this up. Yeah. It's just some old broad who's messing with people.
Who's really tall.
Yeah. Very tall, very gaunt. The actress who actually plays her is, I think this might be one of her first roles. I went to Wikipedia.
Where does she look familiar?
I did not see her, she didn't have, a Wikipedia page in all her roles. Eugene Bondurant.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, that, you know. Good for her. I mean, she's using her Karen abilities quite well throughout the entire film. But I even like how they set it up, because I'm like, okay, well, why is this person doing this? This new threat in the movie. It almost feels like, ooh, it's like the anti-Warrens or something. It's kind of like the Hydra of the Conjuring verse or something like that. It's like, that's cool. And, you know, because people are asking, why is this individual doing this to all these people? And the Warrens are like, I don't know. There's a Satanist is what a Satanist does. I'm like, really? That's all we're going to get?
Okay.
No explanations?
Because, you know, a thing I have, you know, a negative to the movie, mm-hmm. and I feel like I say this every week, and I don't want to keep bringing it up, but it's a bit long because it's 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with a 2-hour movie, but we aren't really talking about anything here.
Yeah.
You know, it's ghost hunters and a bunch of jump scares, ultimately. And even though it masquerades as a procedural in a court case,
mm-hmm.
it's really not that. That's not at the heart of it. But as it went on so long, I started losing the thread of the plot, of what we were getting to.
Oh, yeah.
So
gotcha.
By the time it got done, I was like, damn, they just dropped a bunch of exposition. And I still don't know why she's doing this. The movie ended, and I was like, I don't know why she was doing all that.
Because Satan's cool. People ask this question in the film. They ask the Warrens. This is point blank. This is right after kind of understand what's going on. It's very established early in the beginning, and they're like, Satanists just do this thing. They just mess with people. They just stabbing. They just worshiping Satan and summoning ghosts or what have you. I'm just like, I need more than that, but what's their reason for this? Because that'd be a cool threat to establish in future films.
Oh yeah,
you know,
a cult of people who are doing this for some reason that we have yet to determine.
Who's gonna be the Thanos level demon of the Conjuring verse? Maybe there's someone that would have been. I'm like, well, okay, you're doing something new, you're establishing a whole new threat, but it kind of goes nowhere, and that's what's frustrating.
It's frustrating,
because what Karen does, I don't know, I think she's called just the occultist. I'm going to call her Karen for the sake of convenience.
Yeah.
She just does all the other, and this is where we're getting the bad stuff. This is the things I'm like, come on. Where she's just doing all the typical shit that all the other ghosts do in this franchise, for the most part. Just I'm just haunting people to haunt them, and I'm just getting, kicks for it. That seems safe. And look, just watching him through that window.
I know.
You just know she's like, oh, just watch this guy. It's gonna be so spooky. By the way, scares. Some of the scares, especially in the beginning, take place in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
That never works for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just don't get that. To me, it's just it's in full broad daylight, and I'm like,
oh, those work more for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because that's a feeling of, hey, I or anybody could be out in the middle of the day living your life, doing your thing, and something happens.
Fair.
When it's dark, it's like, your hackles are up a little bit.
Yeah.
You should be expecting things.
And you're inviting that on yourself anyway.
Yeah. Like the scene we just saw with him looking into
the
glory hole. Where just prior to that, he watches a big rat climb into it.
I know.
So you're gross. Yeah, it's gross. And wait, if a rat's in there, why are you sticking your eyeball up to it? Do you want it bitten?
it'll just take it right out, slip it out of your skull. You're right. That you make a very good point. And the scares continue on, especially with Arnie during the day. And now, this is one of the things I'm like, okay, because the whole case, this whole movie is surrounding the fact that Arnie Johnson murdered his landlord.
Yeah.
And the reason was because of the fact that he was possessed by mm-hmm. this entity, this demon. Now, watching this movie, that ain't it at all. I know exactly why he killed his landlord, and anyone in this room would have done so, because this guy's just an asshole. Oh, you motherfucker, just shut the fuck up, please.
Come on. Don't make me drink alone.
Yeah, why would you do that? That's why I said, like, what kind of asshole, I don't care however big of an alcoholic you are, mm-hmm. wastes beer like that?
I know.
Just gets it all over the place.
Over the rug. That is shag carpeting right there mm-hmm. in the 80s. Like, that's going to be a bitch to get out. So, this character, who's not in the film long, he is so over the top
yeah.
that I'm like, anyone would kill him. It's just inevitable.
They would, or at least be like, I'm going to grab my girlfriend and we're going to leave mm-hmm. while you...
Calm down.
While you dry out.
Yeah.
But also, I felt that way through... the first half of all this with him,
mm-hmm.
but toward the end, I was like, you know what? It's hard to know if this guy's really acting this way or the demon is making Arnie see it this way.
Exactly.
It started to get so extreme. I was like, wait, this is Arnie's vision.
Oh, it's going back and forth. That's true. It was manipulating him. That's true. But the guy wasn't drunk, and he was always acting kind of weird and grabby.
We could see in the calmer scenes that the guy was a drunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that he was acting out in a way that was so over the top.
True.
I was like. Like, at first, I was like, oh, geez. And then I was like, I feel like something's going on here.
Yeah, maybe it's meant to be dubious like that. I mean, that is a very fair point. But yeah, I would have lost it. this is my landlord. I mean, when you are actually repairing shit for your landlord, isn't that supposed to be the opposite? He's constantly doing everything for this guy. And he just had it up to here, ghost be damned or not. But yeah, that was kind of like the inciting incident that leads to everything else in the movie. But I was like, I thought that was funny.
I was surprised that they wanted to charge him with first-degree murder, because they would have been like, this guy.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm sure you had the knife out, he slipped on
it. Exactly.
And we don't want to do the paperwork.
There's so many fucking beer, so much beer on the goddamn ground. Of course he would slip.
Yeah.
But there are some other fun scenes with Ghost Karen, because, she's busy messing with the, poor Arnie, messing with all these other mm-hmm. people. Why? Because she likes to.
Because it's a small town and there's nothing else to do.
That's why.
And when she was young, somebody was mean to her.
Yeah, that's it. And that set her down her dark path. But I do like, because I thought what they were establishing here is like, ooh, there's something of a rivalry between her and the Warrens.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's just fucking with them
throughout
the movie. And especially poor Ed. Which you saw earlier, just blowing something in his face. But no, she's getting the stuff that she pulls. It's like, it's pretty nefarious what she's doing. Yeah, I'm in your house.
You see
bitch.
Me.
Yeah.
Where is she?
Oh.
You know, the two of you have gathered quite the collection.
If you hurt her!
You gotta do what? Drop dead?
Don't worry, Mr. Miller. You're so close. I'd hate for you to give up now.
Bitch.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's
pulling moves like that.
She got a little cat and mouse thing going on.
She does. And that was one of the fun dynamics in the mm-hmm, movie was mm-hmm. that whether or not it leads to anything substantial, that's a matter of opinion, of course.
Sure,
but
sure.
I did like, very much the cat and mouse game with the Warrens throughout the entire film. But inevitably, what's happening, though, is that Karen is just doing the same things we so often see in all these haunted households. Despite her being like a new type of threat in the movie, which I think is cool, it's the same shit we've always seen.
I don't disagree with you,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not to the same intensity.
Okay.
Whereas it is a lot of things we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, there's little twist on them, and it's not quite the same. So much of what we usually see is very cheap.
Yeah.
And I felt like maybe this wasn't imaginative, but it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to you.
No, I get it. No, like, this movie has money. And, like, you look at, like, the original... Are you saying, like, cheap where the scares weren't earned? Is that what you're more like saying? Okay, that's fair enough. I just felt like a lot of the scares they just... Maybe, like, they're doing something unique. Like, they're using a waterbed now, to have, like, a frightening thing that pops up or something. I'm like, okay, that's different. Using furniture of the 80s or whatever, got a nice little creepy face coming up and moving around. But it's stuff that we've definitely seen before.
It's funny, that whole scene, all I could think about was, Yeah, waterbeds were awful. Why did people indulge in those?
I don't know. Maybe it's for their backs or something. Wouldn't they be cold? I mean, do you heat them? Like, I don't even know how that works.
The thing is, unless you have it pumped all the way, you try to sleep on it. It is not good for your back at all. You can't sleep. Every little movement does
You
this.
Start jiggling, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You jiggle. So you got to get it pumped up all the way, and things don't go well. Bust!
I know.
And the room's flooded.
And you lose. I went probably expensive, too, for that. That's why probably no one bought them eventually, because they're such a hassle.
Yeah.
And, of course, it might be possessed by a demon ghost for all we
know.
There's
always that.
There's that. But there's some other stuff in this movie that I'm just like, okay, now you're just fucking taking. You're just stealing.
No. The theft was real.
Yeah.
I mean, just right off the bat.
When they
call in the exorcist, and they don't just call in the exorcist, they go clip footage from the exorcist. Yeah. And pose it and light it exactly that same way.
Well, maybe they'll do like a little change or something, but it's pretty much the exact same scene. I'm like, and this is right at the beginning. You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yeah,
this
right?
is ridiculous. Come on.
Come on, dude.
Come on.
Come on.
even look behind him like, where's the light? Where's the lamppost that should be there? I mean, I even have a shot from the original, like, just to show you, it's like pretty goddamn close to what you're doing. Yeah, he's a little closer to the house. Maybe there's a little more water on there.
Nobody's missed that.
No.
Nobody's missing that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that. But it's just unnecessary stuff that you didn't need to have.
Did you catch the psycho shot?
You know what? I didn't, but there's a ton of shots in this movie from Psycho.
Yeah.
From even things like It.
Yeah.
More recently. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, like right here, I have this scene right here, and you guys have seen something like this before. It's not very different.
That's the Psycho shot.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, oh, okay. Oh, the hand.
Yeah.
I thought there was another shot with the knife or something earlier. I guess you are right. Yeah, that is the shot. I'm thinking of something else.
I mean, that whole thing is even shooting the shower that way.
I know. Yeah.
Like, bro.
Yeah. And this is all.
It's early in the movie.
Very early in the movie. And then, you know, they do a couple new things. Like, again, the introduction of Karen, I think, is very fun, but it kind of inevitably all becomes the same thing at the very end. It's like, all right, now to the next case. And it's too bad because I think it has a lot of potential. There's a lot of things I like about this movie. It just has these issues that prevent it from being like as good maybe as the first film. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I mean, I think it's, I'll tell you this, I'll tell you right now, just kind of, we're going to go on a back and forth, do final thoughts in general. But I really admire the fact that they tried different things for the most part when they weren't ripping off other movies. They established like a totally cool new threat, and you know, fans of the Conjuring verse, I think you'll like it if you read into this because there's a lot more to that character and what she's connected to, and I think that's nice. But it still indulges in all the typical tropes and scares that we so often see in a lot of these haunted house ghost movies that, I mean, if you like that shit, then hey, more power to you. You got plenty of it here. No doubt about that. But like for someone like me, I'm like, I was really happy at them doing something a little bit different. The fact that it was just inevitably, this is new, but everything else is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that bothered me. But again, the relationship between the Warrens, Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, and their story, like that's what keeps these movies entertaining, at least for me, to a certain extent. Like, I really like what they're pulling. But overall, if I had to give this any type of rating, I'd probably give it the same as I maybe give the first film, like a high rental.
Oh, okay.
What about you?
I think I like this better than you, and I don't love it. I mean, I guess for me, maybe it's a grading on a curve, but I normally just don't like these movies at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm having a fondness for this. I don't think it's great. Like I said, it winds on too long. It doesn't really have much important to say, which is, you know, that's the thing for horror movies. But there's enough going on here. And I'm like, huh. All right, I wasn't digging it at first at the way it was, you know, being such a ripoff artist, but there's so much here for me to like, which I normally am not able to say.
Sure.
I see where you're saying, like, it doesn't live up to its potential because of those good things it brings up. It could have gone stronger with some of these elements and really focused on those rather than, you know, the ghost stuff. But also, I think they lost potential on was the son. Their son, who's just there to work the camera, and I was like, there's so much you could be doing with him, because what's been happening with children, and even something that Karen says to them about that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, there's a door right here. Mm-hmm. Like, you've drawn this door, and now, hey, maybe take a step in it or just show the potential of where that could go.
Mm-hmm.
The love story with the Warrens, I think it's best when it speaks for itself. The going back to when they first met and all, it's a little hokey. We didn't have to go into it. And I found out right before coming over here that they've done some kind of mini featurette or documentary with Vera Farmiga all about the love of the Warrens. And it's like,
oh, really?
It's like, don't.
It's working already. Don't do that.
Yeah,
it's too much.
Romeo and Juliet.
Too much.
Just let it be what it is.
Yeah.
But overall, I'd say for something that you can watch on HBO Max.
Mm, very true.
Or if you're a fan watching a theater, I think these Conjuring movies, they know that, you know, whatever with the franchise, the satellite movies do, these are the ones where they spend the money, where they spend the time.
Oh, yeah.
And make them better. And while it may not have as much of an impact as the first movie, it does try something different.
Yep.
And most of what it does different, I appreciate. So I would give it more of a low matinee.
Okay. No, that's totally fair. I could totally see that writing. If anything, I just hope that they learn from this movie and go, okay, we just can't keep doing the same
haunted house
ghost stuff. Like, they, you establish something really cool here, now go with it. And to your point with, like, you know, their son-in-law and their daughter, I mean, those are other cases. Like, they got involved with all of these things. So they can adapt them. They make more, make them more characters in the film.
Yeah.
And so I'd be all up there. It's the next generation of the Warrens.
Right.
This franchise is going to keep going.
Right.
It's going to keep making money. There's always ghosts, aren't they? So you have that to look forward to. And yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they have all the movies up there on HBO Max. So you can watch them all back to back to back and skip the ones that aren't that
good. The funny thing is, every time they go to that trophy room, You just go like, here's all the next movies all right here.
Yes.
Or if they decide they want to do a series, like the Friday the 13th series.
Oh, yeah, or Nightmare on Elm Street. Which, like, it's funny, because Friday the 13th, like, did not have Jason Voorhees at all in that. Which, honestly, I wasn't, that didn't bother me because it was Twilight Zone. I did it, too. I did, too. But people hated the fact that they didn't have Jason every episode. Even though he doesn't do anything, he's a big zombie with a machete.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, you know, the way people hate Halloween 3. Because
I love Halloween 3.
Me too.
Yeah, it's so good.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with Jason. I mean, I'm losing.
There's too many goddamn killers and movie monsters here. And they're going to keep making more movies about
Michael Myers.
Him.
It doesn't have Michael Myers. Yeah, but still, I like that one.
Yeah.
I think it's about time they accept the existence of the devil.
You okay there?
Jesus. I think I hurt someone.
One, Arnie Johnson pled not guilty.
We think this family was cursed.